Hi, everybody. So thanks for being here. Certainly, I'm glad to be here. And for those who don't know me, I'm the hard panel guy. But you know that I'm always interested in new ways of interacting with my open app system. So this year, I will present you what I've done over the last year or so, on and off. And it's a little bit of continuity between what I did last year and what I will present you today. So meet Habot, that's what I called him. It's a chatbot for OpenHab. So a little bit of background first. If you want to talk to OpenHab, what are your options? So you have great integrations for all the new and state-of-the-art platforms that you can have now, that is Alexa, Google Assistant, HomeKit from Apple, if you want to talk to Siri. So those are very mature and they work well. And Amazon is selling Echo devices like hotcakes. I believe I saw 65 or 67 Echo device per minute they sell in the world. So that's how popular they are. And so those are cloud-based, so you know if you're an OpenHab user about clouds, those devices are very cheap, maybe there is a reason for that. If you want to go to the offline route, you have a couple of options too. One of them is Mycroft. That's a very cool project, open source project, which is basically a voice assistant too. So you can have a look at that. There is an official Mycroft skill for Mycroft, skill for Mycroft. So if you want to go that route, you're covered. Last year, if you were here, and you probably will remember, I presented Snips, which is another solution which works offline. It's not open source, or they've open sourced a little bit of their platform, but they're MQTT-based, so now that we have a great MQTT binding, or bindings, you can probably go explore that a little further. What you can do, though, is have your assistant completely integrated into ESH or OpenHab because the basic building blocks are there. So you have services for speech to text, you have services for human language interpretation, you have services for text to speech. But you need add-ons. For text-to-speech, you're covered because you have multiple options. For HLI, so in the middle, you have a simple interpreter, which is basically rule-based, but not rule-based, but you can query a little basic sentences and it will understand you. You have the rule-based interpreter. If you have a string item, you can copy what the natural language sentence that has been recognized by speech to text into that item and pick up the change with a rule and do whatever you want with it. Speech to text is a little bit more complicated. Last year, I attempted to provide an add-on for that with CMU Sphinx STT. But apart from that, there's still nothing. So if you want, for instance, to integrate Google text-to-speech or Azure, Microsoft, you could do it, but nobody has done it yet. So what I wanted to say is that Habot started as a human language interpreter for ESH, That is, I wanted to have this voice-enabled assistant, and I wanted an interpreter for that completely integrated into ESH. But this quickly evolved because I realized that I didn't actually need a voice-only assistant. I mean, always on microphone in my room. What I wanted is to simply pick up my phone and ask a question and have the relevant information presented to me visually with controls and so on. So that's why Habots is both a machine learning human language interpreter for ESH based on Apache OpenNLP, and also it was a perfect occasion to give OpenAB yet another state-of-the-art user interface that is a progressive web app. We'll see what it means later on, and built with the modern framework and so on, like Vue.js, which actually powers the website now. By the way, new website. I hope you like it. We'll give you a little hands-on practical tour later of what it can do. So a little bit about NLP, natural language processing. So first, why OpenNLP? So it's a project incubated by the Apache Foundation. And basically, first it's in Java, so for integration into ESH, that's a plus. It's relatively lightweight. You can run it on your Raspberry Pi. You don't need a supercomputer to run it. It's self-contained, no dependency. So if you want to embed it into a bundle, into a jar file, it's easier. And it provides you with a lot of tools, among which you can use those three. Actually, I use those three. First, the tokenizer. So if you have a sentence, you need to split it up into tokens for further processing. So it's not as easy as you might think. But because there are subtle differences between languages and so on, if you have an apostrophe, maybe it's part of the word, maybe it's not. So the tokenizer will take care of that. The second tool is the categorizer. So you know that if you have a sentence, you have to classify it and give it a category. That's called, in my implementation, an intent. That means if you have, for example, turn off the TV in the living room, you have to figure out that it's an intent, deactivate object intent. And last, you have a name finder tool that you can use. And it's the one that will identify the entities that you can find in your sentence. For example, temperature is an object, bedroom is a location, 50% is a value, and based on the words themselves and their position in the sentence, the machine learning will figure out and extract those entities with their type. So how does it work in a nutshell? So the web app will make a request to the REST API. So for instance here, set the light in the kitchen to 30%. So this will get into a REST API resource and passed over to the OpenNLP interpreter, which will, in turn, feed the sentence to the what I call the intent trainer, which is in charge of analyzing the sentence and outputting this intent. This means from this sentence, it was able to classify the intent to set value and extract object equals light, location equals kitchen, and values equals 30%. And once we have that, then we can pass it to the proper skill. So you have, by the way, all those boxes are OSGI components or services. So if you had a new skill, that will be another intent that the bot supports. So if you have an intent, you have only one skill which is able to process it. Why? Because the skills actually define the intent and provide the training data for it. So once you're in your skill, what you want to do, you have object equal light and location equal kitchen, and you have to identify items that you are going to work with. So how do you do that? Is you have an item resolver, which can have a different implementation, but the current implementation is by using semantics, which is the newest shiny bundle in Eclipse Smart Home that you can use. We'll talk about it later. So using this item resolver, you will be able to identify or match the items that we are going to operate. So the skill, once he had the items, he can do whatever is necessary to perform his tasks. So probably he will send the commands or send commands to each of those items with 30 as a value, and then provide an answer to the user. So you have both natural language answer and both a card, which is a piece of UI that you can display along with the answer. For that, you have a card builder and also a card registry, because you can save cards, as I will show you later. So once you have all that, you simply put it all into a structure and you reply to the original request with all the information. So going back to the semantics, how does it work? So it was inspired, it was based on the BRIC schema, that is a uniform metadata schema for buildings. You can go there, brickschema.org, and you will get more information and figure out how this all works. And in the smart home implementation, this is what actually Kai ended up with. And you have different classes, different types, and relation between them. So how is it going to build those relations? Currently, it will look at groups and which items are members of which groups, and it will figure out that, for instance, an item is in a particular location. So the whole point of semantics, of course, is to give meaning to your items and the groups, relationships that you have in your installation, regardless of their name, of course, and so that you can use it without ambiguity in your code. For instance, if you're into code, you can do this. You can filter for all items which are a set point and which relate to temperature, and you will be presented with a, you can collect them, and you will be presented with a set of all items whatever they're called, because they're in those classes in the semantic ontology. You also have a semantic service for instance, identifying items in a particular location. In that case, first floor is a part of the ontology, so if you want to have all the items in the first floor, then it doesn't matter if it's called upstairs or Obergeschoss or premier étage or whatever, because the tag will provide translated synonyms for all those terms that you can refer the tag to. And this is currently the smart home ontology as it stands now. So if you have, for instance, a location, you can identify it as a first floor. You'll notice that it is a hierarchy. So first floor is a kind of floor. Garage door is a kind of door. So we'll see how it translates to natural language queries after that. Of course, this is very new. This was merged actually last week. So docs are coming. There are none for the moment, at the moment. And it's a little... will that go away, maybe? Okay. Yeah, it's a little small, but the way you can put your items in the ontology is to tag them. Each one of those is a tag that you can put on your items. So points and property usually go together. Location is usually on groups, because it doesn't make sense if it's not a group. Equipment should be on groups too, because equipment are supposed to have multiple points. There is a little bit of debate about that, but okay. And yeah, let's see how it's implemented in practice. So first, here are an example. It's based on the demo package, so you have basically the same items that you know if you use the demo package, except now there are tags. So if you want to get up to speed with tags, just have a look at the demo package. You can see also that you can use metadata to give synonyms to your items, because for very specific stuff, you will not have in the ontology something that you can relate to. So the practice is to give the most accurate or the parent tag from the ontology and then use a synonym. So once you have that, you can launch this. And you'll have this Habbot user interface. So if you get here. So first, what I want to show you is that you'll want to have HTTPS here. Why? Because most of the features, like the advanced feature, like the voice input and so on, they only work over HTTP. So there are multiple ways to do that, but you have to have that. If you don't, just use myopenapp.org over the remotely. And it will work, because you have HTTPS set up for you. what you can do on Windows since this week is to transform this app into a real app. That's one of the features that that a progressive web app can do. So you have this button. If you don't have the button, by the way, you can also go here and select Install Habbot. And if you do that, do you see what's happening? It's not in the browser anymore. It's a real app, and it's in its own window and so on. If you look here, it was added here. You can search for it. So basically, it's an app now. And yeah, it's only for Windows. If you have a Mac, if you have a Linux, you have to wait a little bit. Or, I can show you that, you just have to go to Chrome:flags and enable, yeah, you can search for PWA, that's a progressive web app, and you have to enable desktop web apps, desktop PWAs. And by the way, this too. This is actually quite cool. It's when you have a link to your app, then it's not handled by the browser anymore. So if you click here, you will go straight to the app. So what can it do? You can, of course, ask. What's the temperature in the kitchen, and it will extract the information that you need and present it to you. If you have a synonym, like lights in Amy's room, then it's working too. One of the early use cases that I wanted to have is show me the temperature in the living room over the last 2 weeks. And what it will do is extract a chart with the period that you specify. I add it later on an analyzer, which is able to let you configure really what you want to see. If you want to mix it up with another item, then you can do whatever you want. You can change the period and so on to maybe 2 weeks, no, or 1 month. It is already 2 weeks. So yeah, you can do a lot of stuff with this. Yeah, already known. Of course, it's in 3 languages. So if you have here, and you go to Paper UI, and you change here the language. Okay. So it works in French, obviously. Yeah. So if you have, by the way, you can see that the terms are translated. That's the semantics in action. Of course, you have it auf Deutsch, natürlich. So here, what can I say? Heizung, no. Heizung im OG. Okay, so yeah. It's been able to identify OG as first floor, and then it presented you that all it has on the first floor as eatings. If you have, for instance, here, That's the door. So the front door, as I said, is a kind of door. The garage door is a kind of door. So if you have garage door, I guess, yeah, this works too. Let's switch back to English. I don't know about time. I am allowed to, yeah, don't want to get in the way in your lunch, so. what you can do also is to inject new skills into this system. And for that, I prepared a bundle here. And I will try to put it here. And check, let's check. Yeah. So what this does is, here you have the code which is implemented as skill. So what you have to do is declare it as a component. And this is the intent that the skill will handle. You have to supply it a bunch of training data, and then you have to implement the method that will perform the task that you want. Here I am using semantics to identify the HVAC items or the set point items if I don't give it a location, for instance. If I say now, I'm cold. Oh, sorry. Yep. Nope. Oh, by the way, yeah, you have a car designer. I was planning to show it to you, but maybe it's too late now. So I don't want that here. Yeah, I'm cold. Right, so, okay, this doesn't work. So you have a bunch of skills that you can use by default. If you say turn on the lights in the kitchen, then it will perform what you want. If you say set the temperature to 21. Oh no, set to set point to 21. Yeah, it will work too. You can, if you're using the new rule engine, you can say create a rule, and then it will present you with this. And for instance, in 15 minutes, you can send some comments to some item, and maybe push a notification with a message, it's time for lunch, for instance. Click. Yep. And then if you want, you can review it in the new rule engine. In Paperia. By the way, notification, you have to enable them before. So if you do that, you need to allow them. And okay. This needs the internet, obviously. Maybe it's that. Yeah, no, that's what I want actually, but alarms only. Yep. Let's try it again. Push. Okay. So this will work next time, I guess. What else? Yep, card deck notification. No, that's it. Let's get to lunch. Thank you.